We're continuing our road trip series, and at risk of mixing metaphors from last week's message about tolls, we're talking about toll roads and evaluating the cost of discipleship. And so today it might seem like a little bit of a contradictory illustration due to certain elements that are going to be found within the message of today related to back roads and tolls, but I think they really provide a complementary and complete picture when we look at them and we understand them together. We talked about the cost of discipleship last week and the toll that it takes. Every person should count the cost as they build. But today we're going to be looking at a different theme, and that's instead of the toll roads, we're going to be talking about back roads. Now, I think in my own life, there have been times when I've wanted to go someplace and I really had no choice, because to get to the desired destination, you had to take back roads. But in the process of taking those back roads, I've personally seen some beautiful scenes and have ended the journey having some wonderful fellowship with some wonderful people. We all have times in our lives when we can choose to take back roads or to avoid them. And other times, if we choose to move at all and we choose to go to a destination, we have to take those back roads. But today, we want to understand what God wants to teach us about being aware of the dangers of avoiding the difficulties that come with taking those back roads sometimes, as well as the blessings that you gain when you get off the beaten path and you take those back roads. But before we get into the text for today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you that on our spiritual journey, you call us to count the cost of discipleship, but you also take us on pathways that are sometimes winding and confusing for us. But you do so for a reason that will help us to grow and to provide opportunities for us to discover great things about you and our relationship with you. So be our teacher today as we open up your word, so that we might apply the truths from Scripture into our lives, that we might be and live differently. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the main idea that I want you to take away from today's message is that breaking away from the popular opens the door for the significant. Breaking away from the popular path, breaking away from the major streams that the way that culture is going, provides the opportunity, opens the door for God to do significant things in our lives if we will take advantage of those back roads. So the first of the three road trip realities that we're going to discover and as we look at God's word today, when leaving the major highway, is that back roads produce traveling difficulties. We know that on the interstate, it's a broad road, it's smooth, and it's fast. As I said, out in West Texas, you can go 85 miles an hour. It's pretty cool. But when you take those back roads, lots of times, there are some difficulties that you'll run into. Because those back roads are, by very nature, less traveled and they're lower speeds and sometimes they're harder to follow. But today as we open up, we're going to look at a couple of different passages. And the first one that we're going to look at today is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Jesus is teaching to the masses. And he's talking to them that are largely following the broad pathways of religiosity, of the Jewish religion. And so Jesus is addressing the concern that they don't get caught up in following just the religion and the common practice of the people. And in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 7, he says, if you have your Bibles, you can follow along, open them up on your device or on screen. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Jesus has some hard sayings here. He's talking about the options that we have. The wide gate, it's easy, it's wide. Many people go through that wide gate, but he goes, the narrow gate, it's hard, it's difficult. Few find it. And it leads to life. But that broad gate leads to destruction. So in this passage, we see contrasting paths and we see corresponding problems that flow from these differences. The first path that he describes as the easy path. The easy path is described by a wide gate. That wide gate is an open way to destruction. And you might say, well, what is that gate? What is that wide gate that is so easy for people to follow? And that wide gate can be the gate of religion, it can be the gate of works, and it can be the gate of the law. And the thing is, this wasn't unique to the Jewish people, because when you look at all of the world religions, all of those religions, except for Christianity, are based on a person's ability to work themselves into a right relationship with God. If you do just enough things, if you follow these 10 commandments, if you follow these 5 pillars, if you follow these 4 noble truths in this eightfold pathway, if you follow these things, then you can work yourself into a right relationship with God. But that's why Jesus calls this the wide gate. And that gate of religion, that gateway of works, of thinking, if I can just do enough, I can become acceptable to God. If I just follow the law, the Jews have 10 commandments, the Muslims have 5 pillars, and if I just do these things, then I can be good enough to be acceptable by God. But Jesus says that's the wide gate. That's the broad way. Many people follow that because it's a lot easier to follow rules and follow the external behaviors rather than to address the issues of the heart. And so Jesus says that that's the easy way. But the hard way, the narrow gate, yes, it's narrow. But the difference between the wide gate, the easy way, it leads to destruction. The narrow gate, the hard way, ends in life. So the contrast is obvious. The invitation to the wide gate is very appealing because it's easy. But the outcome is something nobody wants, and that's destruction. But the narrow gate, it's obviously hard, but it's what we all desire, and that's life. So what is that narrow gate? Well, in contrast to the wide gate of religion, works, and the law, the narrow gate is defined by Christ, grace, and faith. Christ is the narrow gate. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is exclusive. There is no other way. But in that exclusivity of being no other way, the invitation is open. Whosoever believes, he invites all. So it's very inclusive in the invitation. It's exclusive in the solution. We trust in Jesus. Jesus is the back road. He is the narrow gate. He is the one who provides life. And we enter that gate through faith in Jesus Christ to receive God's amazing grace. Now, for the vast majority of you, this is not news. This is something that you know, but I want you to ponder upon this if you know these facts so that you can live under that grace, so that you can orient your life to the not popular way. You see, the broad way, the wide gate, is constantly trying to distract us, to call us backwards on the path that we have taken so that we don't advance in that intimacy with the Lord. And so if you're on the path, the narrow way, if you're on that hard path, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. No, it's the hard path. You should expect it to be hard. But that's where God meets us with his amazing grace. That's where God strengthens and fortifies our faith when we recognize and realize that Jesus and Jesus alone is the source of our life and our being. He is the one who empowers us. You're all familiar with Robert Frost and his famous poem, The Road Not Taken. Very, very beautiful poem. It ends with this phrase, two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. Now, I'm not going to go into a literary analysis of Robert Frost's poetry. That would be a waste of your time and of this pulpit to do that. But the point is that we have paths, and when we choose Jesus, the narrow way, that makes all the difference. So I don't know what his spiritual state was or what he was writing about, but it doesn't change the fact that we have choices and the path that we take makes all the difference. So that's why it's important for us to choose wisely the way that we go, because Jesus makes all the difference. The narrow path with Jesus is a heart issue, whereas the wide path that leads to destruction is often a behavior issue. It's easier to manage behaviors and external actions than it is to address the internal condition of our heart. And that's where Jesus wants to do heart surgery on us. And when we take the narrow way, when we take the difficult path, Jesus does a work on our hearts that results in transformation so that we look more like Him. And when we exude Christ, we can be that magnetic perfume, that magnetic personality, that wonderful perfume that can draw people in. Or we can be that odor of death for those who have rejected the narrow way. But also, not only are these contrasting paths, they have corresponding problems. Now, we face human solutions in a fallen world, or we can go by human solutions for a fallen world, or we can choose God's solutions and guidance in a fallen world. You know, on the roads, that we, with our illustration of taking back roads, lots of times you can run into problems on the back roads, that the difficulties that they produce. That can be due to the natural state of things. The terrain can impact those back roads because those back roads are narrow. They just can't take those land-moving machines. They have to wind around through the valleys. They can go up the mountains, but they have to do the switchbacks. Any of y'all been in West Virginia driving those West Virginia switchbacks? Oh, my goodness. I remember when we lived in Southern California, going up from San Bernardino up to Lake Arrowhead. Those were some bigger roads, but those switchbacks were still kind of scary when you're looking over a precipice down thousands of feet. So the terrain can have an impact, those natural things that can take place. But if you've been through Louisiana, you know that you're going through the bayou, you're going through the swamp, and so the pathways are determined by the swamp, or if you want to get around, it can be very, very challenging. There are natural issues that can impact and cause routes to be indirect routes. But there are also some man-made issues that come with the back roads. So there are the natural issues that mean that the roads are smaller and they slow you down sometimes and they can be perilous. But there are also some man-made issues. There are lower speed limits. There are also speed traps that can take place. When we lived in Florida and we were driving from Gainesville up to Jacksonville, everybody knew when you got to Stark, you put that cruise control 1 mile an hour under the speed limit or you were going to get busted. Many of you know in your hometown areas, those places where you might be able to get by with driving a little faster, but those other places where, buddy, you better go the speed limit. Well, the back roads, the thing is the locals know where those areas are, but a traveler taking the back roads doesn't know where they are. And so that's a danger that can take place. But there are also the personal issues when we take the back roads. Someone who is directionally challenged, they're not familiar with the area. In the back roads, sometimes you don't have as good cell phone reception or GPS reception, and if your map goes out, then you're really in trouble, and you can start to panic, and you can have doubt, or you can have confusion over where you are and what's the next mile marker, or where are you going to go, and how are you going to get there. When you're on the interstate, they have the mile markers, but in the back roads, you don't have the mile markers to track your progress. It's hard to even find landmarks to see where you're going. It can be very, very difficult. Or you might have some farm equipment that pulls out in front of you, things that slow you down. So there are dangers and perils. And on those back roads, lots of times there's wildlife that might jump out. More than one person has been driving on a back road at night and had a deer in the front seat next to them. So the back roads can be perilous and dangerous places. In the back roads, they can often lack those essential services for travelers. The fuel, the food, and the facilities, or the restroom facilities that they need. You know, small towns on those back roads, it's even more serious because sometimes they lack the living essentials. It's an even greater problem for the locals than it is for the traveler. Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, credited taking the back roads to his successful retail business. When he was driving through the back roads of Arkansas and Texas and Louisiana, he saw that he could give the rural customers lower prices and better services than the big chains in the big cities that wouldn't want to come out there because they didn't want to go into those underserved areas. And so, yes, there are some challenges with being on the back roads of the things that you need. But that's not the end of the story. And that's why so many people don't want to take those back roads, because there are challenges along the way in our illustration. But I'd like to ask you, what are the current factors that hinder you from going on or advancing through the narrow gate, the difficult way, to go deeper in your spiritual journey with Christ? What are the things that are hindering you? Is it the appeal of the broad way and the broad gate and the ease of that way that hinder you? Or is there something else that would hinder you from going to and going through and continuing on the narrow way? This leads to the second road trip reality we discover when leaving the major highways, and that is that while back roads produce traveling difficulties, back roads also possess hidden treasures. And that's the good news. The good news is that when we take those back roads, we can often come across hidden treasures, scenic beauty, the slower pace, and even in the process of getting lost, there are some hidden treasures. And spiritually speaking, when we take the back roads, when we go the way of Christ and walk closely with Him, we will discover hidden treasures and wonderful things. Matthew 13, 44, Jesus talks about that. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." This is a very interesting little phrase and a series of parables that Jesus is teaching. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He describes it as hidden treasure. It's in a field. Now, a person can find it unexpectedly. Sometimes you find that hidden treasure, you discover it unexpectedly. Sometimes that hidden treasure is a result of seeking it intentionally. But in this parable here, he's talking about discovering it unexpectedly. He's walking through a field. He's off the path. He's on a back road, and he discovers hidden treasure. And when he discovers it, what does he do? He confirms the value, that it is indeed hidden treasure, and then he acquires the land. He goes and he sells all that he has. In his joy, he does that. In his joy, he gives away all that he has, sells all that he has to buy this land so that he can have that treasure. He wasn't looking for it. He came upon it. Didn't matter that he wasn't intentionally looking for it at the time. The fact that he discovered it, he saw the value. For us, we need to recognize the supreme value of who Jesus is. Now, we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that He died on the cross for our sins. We know that He rose again on the third day. We know that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. We know that He's coming back one day. But brothers and sisters, do we live like that? Do we honestly live like we believe that He is who He says that He is? And if Jesus is who He is, who He says that He is, then He deserves our focus. He is our hidden treasure. And we miss out. When we minimize or we shelf Jesus or we compartmentalize Jesus, we miss out of the hidden treasure, the primary hidden treasure of who He is, and also the hidden treasure that comes from getting to know Him intimately. Yeah, your salvation is secure. If you've trusted in Jesus as the only Savior, your salvation is secure. But there is so much more that He wants to do in your life than to just save you. He wants to transform you. He wants to enlighten you. He wants to grow you. He wants to use you. And that's why in this parable, the person joyfully sells all that they have. They give up everything to go and buy this field to possess the hidden treasure. Confirm the value. Jesus is that hidden treasure. He is worth everything that we are and own and could ever possess. He is worth it all. And now that we've confirmed the value of Jesus, the only one who lived a sinless life, the only one who died and rose again, foretold by the Scriptures, and the only one who's coming back to save His people, His value is secure. There's no question about that. If we are honestly looking at the evidence, that's not in doubt. And so, like the man who acquired the land, Jesus reveals more treasure to us. Let us own Him more fully. Let us follow Him down this narrow path, this hard way, so that we can discover even more treasure. Think of, wasn't a real Beatles fan when I was growing up. It was kind of a little bit too young for them. But in 1970, Paul McCartney wrote the number one hit for the Beatles' final album together called Let It Be. And that song was called The Long and Winding Road. And it was interesting that album came out after the Beatles broke up. And that the lyrics for A Long and Winding Road was inspired by Paul McCartney's Hyde Park Farm in Scotland. Beautiful place, and had a long and winding road up to these beautiful vistas of the lochs and the mountains in Scotland. It was an amazing, amazing thing. But his lyrics, I think, reveal maybe a search for spiritual meaning. Because that album, Let It Be, if you recall any of the Beatles, it's revealing some of his Catholic upbringing when he says, Mother Mary, come to me, let it be. So there was some spirituality related to that album. And this is after they had all of their success, their worldly success. And yet, he says, on this long and winding road, I think that there might be some reflection of a spiritual need and a spiritual void in his life that he was seeking to find, but it came out in maybe a way that he didn't express, because the words of the lyric says, the long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me near. Lead me to your door. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus wants relationship, so a door can be representative of a point of contact and interaction. And I think it reflected some of the hunger that Paul McCartney may have had, but he could not have articulated. Because sometimes you discover things unexpectedly. But other times, you seek them intentionally. Because you've heard about it. You've heard that something is valuable. You've heard about this place. You've heard about this person. You've heard about this restaurant. You've heard about something, and so you want to seek it out. I remember when we lived in Florida, I heard about these annoying little shrimp called rock shrimp that were very, very hard to peel, but they were very delicious, like mini lobsters. And boy, so I wanted to go to the Dixie Roadhouse and get those rock shrimp lobster, and they were absolutely delicious. So if you're down in the Titusville area, I'd recommend that. But sometimes you're seeking things intentionally because you've heard about it. And what happens is when you've heard about it, you need more light. You need more information. You need to know where the location is so that you can pursue that thing of value. You've heard about it. You've estimated from what you've heard that it's valuable. And so you need more light to go. And so you're intentionally seeking and pursuing it. And once you find that thing, you invest your time. You invest your possessions to find it. And then you own it. Whether it's expected or intentional, it's always to own it and to go deeper. Jesus is our treasure. He is the back road. And so whether you are stumbled upon him or you've heard about him and are actively seeking him, own him and go deeper with him to find the treasure of who he is and the treasures that he can offer as you grow in intimacy with him. Christian, don't be satisfied with just coming to faith in Christ and then staying the same the rest of your life. Continue to grow on the back roads and the hard roads of the narrow way with Jesus. There was another band that I really liked in the 70s and 80s, and that was the band of Kansas. And the singer Kerry Livgren wrote some songs during his time of spiritual search. Carry On My Wayward Son and Dust in the Wind. Those were songs which were deep and wonderful and meaningful songs which were describing his search for hidden treasure, which he eventually found, came to faith in Christ, and started singing for the glory of God. When we're on those back roads, sometimes you might be looking for antiques. You might be out going on those back ways. It's on those back roads that sometimes you'll find those little nuggets, those hidden gems where you can find some very valuable antiques. You might find a hidden gem of a restaurant when you get on the back road. Or you might find a person who is very interesting. So the back roads can provide a lot of hidden treasures. If we find them in the real world, the back roads find great hidden treasures in the spiritual realm when we prioritize Christ and go deeper into the Word of God. You know, the challenge is sometimes we mistake fool's gold for hidden treasure. Now, the difference is iron pyrite looks like gold, but it has no value. Whereas the real thing has real value. Real gold has value. But the thing is that fool's gold is often found on the surface, and it's easy to get, and that's why it's called fool's gold. But sometimes if you want the real gold, you have to dig deep, and you have to look intently for that. And so may we be a people who don't accept the fool's gold or the fake that might find on the surface, but we ourselves are disciplined to go deeper into God's Word, to go deeper into our walks with Jesus, so that we can discover old treasures and new from the Word of God and the result of true treasure, true gold that comes from developing and cultivating intimacy with Christ. Are you intentionally digging deeper and seeking hidden treasure in God's Word? I've said this before, but the statistics are astounding. If you come to church on Sunday once a week and listen to me, it's not going to have any impact in your life, even though I'm preaching from the Word of God. If you read the Bible once a week or twice a week, it's not going to have significant impact in your life. But if you read and meditate on the Word of God at least three times a week, it's going to have a significant impact. And for those who are regularly in the Word of God, it will have an impact in you to change you because you're being exposed to the treasure of God's Word. And the thing is, we can't say, oh, I've read it once. Let this be an ongoing process. If you read through the Bible each and every year, you will discover gems that you didn't know. There are things that I'm discovering after the 20-some, 30-some odd time I've read through the Bible that I didn't discover the first few times I read through them. I was talking to my son the other day, and I said, it probably took me reading through the Bible six or seven times before I started really appreciating the book of Leviticus. And so if you don't appreciate the book of Leviticus, just keep reading, and eventually it'll come around. But there's some great treasure there. And are you advancing through life? Let's say, you know, we're searching in God's Word for hidden treasure. But as we walk around through life, are you going through life with eyes open and alert for the hidden treasures in your regular life? Whether it's on the beaten path or it's off the beaten path. Things that God wants to show you in the world around you, not just through the Word of God, but through interactions, truths that can be reflective of truths discovered in God's Word. So it might be through interactions with others as people are ministering to you or as you're ministering to others or things and circumstances that you come across or even things that you observe in nature which can communicate a spiritual lesson which can help you grow deeper with the Lord. So are you going through life alert or are you going through life with the blinders on autopilot and missing out on the hidden treasures that the Lord wants to put in your path in addition to the hidden treasures that we find in His Word? Well, this leads us to the third road trip reality that we discover when we leave the major highway, and that is that back roads provide growth opportunities. I'm sure you saw this coming. Yeah, there are going to be traveling difficulties. There are going to be hidden treasures, and so all of that means that there's opportunities for us to grow. Now, I'm going to hit on this just very briefly because I hope preach through the whole book of Colossians, and so, but I wanted to reference something from Colossians 2, 1 through 3 that we studied in the previous sermon series. It says, as Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, he said, "For I wanted you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches a full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." When we take those back roads, we have growth opportunities because as we take the narrow way, the hard way, which is the Christ way, hidden treasures are there. And because of the difficulties that we have along the difficult narrow path, that's how we grow. And opportunities for growth can be expressed through the appreciation of the simple things of life and acquiring the critical thinking and problem-solving skills that we need to live in this life. Do you appreciate the little things of life on the back roads? We have access to untold riches in Christ. The wisdom, the knowledge, and the mysteries of Christ are accessible to us. But the problem is that things are easily accessible or often taken for granted. So don't take the fact that we have access to the Word of God, that we have the freedom to gather together, we have the freedom to sing publicly and worship the Lord. Let us not take these things for granted. Because we have access to the Word of God, we can go out and buy a Bible, we can pray publicly, we can do lots of things. We have untold resources online for preaching and teaching. Let us not take these accessibility for granted. Things that you have that others would sometimes almost literally be willing to die for. They would risk their life to get a copy of the Bible. So don't let the Bible collect dust on the shelf when others in different parts of the world would risk their lives to obtain one copy of this book that is often neglected, which could change our lives. But it's not just the things that are easily accessible. It's also appreciating the things that are less accessible, savoring that which is precious rather than complaining about the scarcity. Have you received something good? Great. Would you like more of it? Well, good. We'll savor it, but don't complain that, oh, well, we don't have this or we don't have that or we don't have as much of this or we don't have as much of that. Let us have a gratitude mentality of I'm thankful for what I have, and so therefore I'm going to savor what I have while I have it. And this is something of growing appreciation with the little things of life versus having an entitlement and complaining attitude. But also along the back roads, on the off the beaten path, we have those growth opportunities through the challenges and the difficulties because we can learn critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills. We have great access to the mysteries of Christ. So the question is, now that we have access, what are we going to do with the treasure that we have already found? How are we going to leverage this treasure to grow and to be a blessing to others? Not to hoard, but to pour out and to be a blessing to others. It really relates back to the step two of discipleship from last week. As we're growing as disciples, it's not to hoard it, but it's to release it and to make disciples of others. You know, the back roads frequently provide that context for growth that we need and that others can profit from as well. And growth frequently involves discomfort. So the back roads provide the context for growth, and the growth is often uncomfortable. So don't shy away from the back roads because it's uncomfortable. Lean into this discomfort so that you can discover the hidden treasures that you couldn't find if you didn't experience the discomfort and you didn't choose to take those back roads. Jesus is the narrow way. And when we grow with him, sometimes he's going to ask us to do things which will make us uncomfortable. He will be addressing holiness in our lives. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, he will be pressing in on things that need to change in us, and he will be pushing us out of our comfort zone to have a positive impact for others so that we can help fulfill the Great Commission. You know, the church in China, there's a tension between the state church and the underground church. And so believers in China have to make the choice of whether they're going to be conformed to the state church or they're going to be part of the underground church. Are they going to have to compromise? Are they going to have access to people? Or are they going to stay true to God's word? There's some challenges. But then believers in the Muslim majority nations must learn how to grow spiritually while trying to survive physically due to their commitment to follow Jesus, the true treasure, in a context where it can cost you your life. We don't live in the situation of China, where there's a state-controlled message that if you're at a state-sponsored church, it's a state-controlled message. We're not living in the context of a Muslim-majority nation where your life is on the line if you publicly proclaim Jesus, but we are in an environment where we have easy access. And so the call for us is to embrace the treasure that we have, that others would like, so that we can grow and we can share this treasure with the world around us. This is the joy, the hope, and the challenge of taking back roads. We are rich because we have treasure in Jesus. Let us live into that richness. I'd like to close by asking, what is one area of your spiritual life that you would like to see growth? To boldly pursue Christ-honoring significance by going against the flow of the status quo. Maybe the Holy Spirit's highlighting something right now where you need to go against the flow of the status quo and take a back road wherever you are in your spiritual journey with Jesus, because breaking away from the popular opens the door to the significant. What's your next step going to be? As we hear God's word, if we don't take action on it, we're fools. And so God wants us to take his word and apply it. And I don't know what his next step for you is, but I know whatever that is, you need to take the next step that the Lord is laying on your heart. Whether it's to take the narrow gate and come to faith in Jesus Christ today. If you've never done that, maybe you've played religious games for all of your life. Maybe you've been in this church all of the time that I've been here, and you've deceived yourself. Maybe today is the day that you need to come to faith in Christ. I hope that's not the case, but if it is, I would be glad and rejoice with you to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But for some others, it might be this is your first time and you've never made that commitment to Jesus. This is the time to start on that journey of the back road, the narrow road with Jesus. For others, it might be to leave the highway to find the hidden treasure, to press on the narrow way, to find the hidden treasure that comes from knowing Jesus intimately. Whatever your next step is, I pray that God would give you the courage to live that out, because the back roads and the narrow way are worth it because the treasure is great. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. That you're